Well, good evening. Let's turn to our text found in Matthew 6, 1 through 6, and then also 16 through 21. Feel free to read along with me in your order of worship or read along in your Bible. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. And truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, this is God's word. It's given for our good. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are thankful. We're thankful for this time to acknowledge our sin and the ways in which we move away from you, our brokenness. And God, we give thanks that we can acknowledge those things not despairingly or without hope. But God, we ask that you would come and you would be present with us, that you would lead us to places of truth and places of grace. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, one of the things that that you may see, particularly in our city, is people walking around with dogs. And one of the things I'm always fascinated by when I see people with dogs is the size of the person with the size of the dog. In particular, I mean, this may seem, if you can imagine that image of a large dog walking with a smaller person, some questions may come to mind about that relationship. Like, who is in charge? What happens when the dog wants more than it wants to be controlled by its owner? When it meets another dog, or when it encounters something that's enticing or overwhelming that is unfamiliar, perhaps a smell or something like that, what happens when that is too much and it has to check it out? Well, we can all imagine probably what happens. It's probably either something very funny or something very scary. Well, I share this image of the dog because it points to something familiar to us, that our lives are relentlessly directed towards the things we want and desire, especially towards the things that give us life, that we find beautiful and winsome. And the reality is that what we desire is what we ultimately serve and worship. Well, in our text this evening, we see several kind of snapshots of the way in which Jesus looks past our behaviors and towards our motivations and towards our intentions, towards our wants and the things that we chase after. And the difficulty that we may have with Jesus is that these behaviors are not bad behaviors. No, it's not like Jesus is talking about particular or obvious sins like lying or stealing, committing adultery. No, Jesus is talking about behaviors and practices that are central to our identity. They're central to being his disciples. They're practices that form and shape us. So what is the problem, Jesus? Why all this special attention towards our devotion and the things that we treasure? Well, the problem is not our practices, but it's in our motivations, in our intentions. You see how easy it can be for us to drift towards the rewards and the treasures that exist in this world, and how easy it can be for us to want to be seen, to find our identity as someone who is good and righteous, and even to hide from the truth of our own brokenness. And how easy it can be to desire and to want stuff, right? Treasured stuff that insulates us and helps us feel safe and valuable, that we think gives us status. But the truth is that the things that we look to be seen, to be somebody's, these are the kinds of rewards that are unforgiving. We have to keep coming back to them over and over again because they are the kinds of treasures that fade, the treasure where moth and rust destroy. And Jesus is saying to us, our treasures don't last. And if we spend time thinking about our efforts in acquiring things and rewards, it can be almost comical the way we strive and we build these things around us as some kind of trophy room or perhaps as a measure of our own success. I mean, how cool is my iPhone or my tablet or my new car going to be in a couple of years? In like 5 years or 10 years? You see, the reality that we are told and that we buy into is that we need to re-up our contracts all the time, because those are the terms and the conditions of the rewards that don't last. Right? You have to come back over and over again to get more treasure. And let's be honest, this isn't easy to resist, right? I mean, the voice of those things of this world, it is a loud voice. It's captivating. It's in your face, and it's reaching out for our wants and desires all of the time. And it isn't easy, because the voice of Jesus offering you a different reward is sometimes quiet. It's taking in those quiet places away from the crowds and away from the noise and all the loudness. The voice that invites you to stop and to think about your resources, to think about your time or why you do what you do, because that space with Jesus may speak to what you really love and what you really worship. And I wonder how many of us are comfortable in that silent, in that quiet space that Jesus invites us to, that silent space where we are alone with God, vulnerable and open to the kind of treasure and rewards that he is happy to give. And how many of us are uncomfortable if there are not others around to see us, to look at our nice things so that we can see the envy in their eyes, to see us worship and to say beautiful prayers? Well, Martin Luther, the reformer, he says that our righteousness is more dangerous than our sin. How great is the darkness that self-deceives. I don't know how many times I've listened to a sermon and I've thought, you know, I know someone should hear this. But the arrow that I cast often never points my way. You know, the truth is that the silent space can be the hard space because it avoids the trappings, the rewards of this world. You see, we can use our piety, we can use our own things to make us feel important, to give us status and approval and significance, to give us admiration, but it's not enough. So perhaps for us, we go back to the gym to make ourselves more desirable, or we take up certain disciplines trying to convince God that we are worthy to gain more of the things that we ultimately desire, even though they never last. But the good news is that Jesus also invites us to a different kind of treasure, a different kind of reward. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to turn off our desires, our longings, as if we could, because he made us want, and he made us to want, and made us to want to worship. Rather, Jesus, he wants us to redirect those desires to a different kind of reward. And this is the kind of treasure that doesn't decay, but it has permanence in our life. This isn't some esoteric treasure. Rather, he has in mind the things that we do and the things that we do and the way that we live right now. Things that will last into the new creation. So what is this treasure? Well, even though Jesus doesn't just come out and say it in our text, Scripture gives us all sorts of clues and pictures of things that will last. Things that Matthew mentions and that he brings up. And it looks like something like loving your neighbor, or better yet, loving your enemy who is difficult to love. It looks like forgiving the person who has hurt you, perhaps who's hurt you over and over again, and God says to forgive that person 70 times 7. Over and over again. You see, these are concrete acts of love and restoration, of making things new, treasure that will endure in the world to come. It will endure because we share in the life of God Himself. This is what God is like, to love His enemy. For us, to love our neighbors is to love God. And I'll say this about our God. We are not the only ones who move towards the things that we want, that we love, and the things that we desire. I mean, that is true only because it is true of God first. That He moves towards the objects of His desire, towards those He loves. He moves towards sinners like you and me. And when we find our treasure, our reward in God who loves us, He reorders our lives around the things He cares about. And the stuff, all the stuff, just becomes stuff. And devotion becomes something done. Becomes not something done for others, but for the one who is worthy, who makes all things new. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful. We're thankful that your love moves us despite our brokenness, despite the ways in which we pursue other lovers, in which we want other things apart from you. God, that you enter into that darkness and you bring forth light. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.